Take a quick scroll through your bank statement. Notice something? Those recurring charges, Netflix, Spotify, Adobe, maybe a meal kit service or two, aren't random conveniences. They're evidence of a seismic shift reshaping the entire global economy. We're witnessing a transformation as profound as when Henry Ford's assembly line revolutionized manufacturing, except this time, the revolution isn't about making more stuff, it's about ditching stuff altogether. For over a century, success meant designing, manufacturing, and shipping as many units as possible. Remember those all sales final signs? They perfectly captured the old mindset. Sell the product, pocket the cash, never look back. But today's customers don't want to own things. They want access to experiences. They'd rather stream music than store CDs, hail rides than park cars, and subscribe to software than install discs. Companies embracing this shift are growing 9 times faster than traditional businesses, while giants clinging to the old model are vanishing faster than Blockbuster stores. The industrial economy's formula was simple: create products, push distribution, maximize sales. Henry Ford's Any Color As Long As It's Black epitomized this product-first approach that worked for 120 years when customers had limited choices. That world is dead. Today's empowered customers demand ongoing fulfillment through services tailored to their evolving needs. Amazon anticipates needs before you articulate them. Most brick-and-mortar stores can't recall what you bought last week. This isn't a technology problem, it's a philosophy problem. The new model is circular, not linear. Identify customers, meet them across channels, gather information, and deepen relationships over time. Apple now generates tens of billions from services like iCloud and Apple Music. Caterpillar uses IoT sensors for predictive maintenance rather than just selling bulldozers. The entire $80 trillion global economy is being reimagined around one principle: follow your customers rather than expecting them to follow you. Headlines scream about retail's apocalypse. 7,000 stores closed in 2017, with Toys R Us and Radio Shack filing for bankruptcy. Yet physical retail still captures 85% of U.S. sales, a $5 trillion market that continues growing. The real story isn't retail dying, but bad retail dying. Stores treating shoppers as anonymous transactions rather than known individuals. Consider Walmart versus Amazon. Walmart serves 140 million weekly shoppers across 5,000 stores, yet couldn't tell you your last purchase. Amazon knows your browsing patterns, purchase history, and likely future needs. This knowledge gap explains why traditional retailers struggle. Winners are flipping the script. Warby Parker and Bonobos start with digital relationships, then extend into physical spaces as experiential showrooms. Bonobos guide shops focus on personalized try-ons without maintaining inventory, orders shipped directly home. This generates $3,000 per square foot because 85% of visitors already browsed online. Even centuries-old companies are reinventing themselves. Husqvarna, founded in 1689, now offers the Battery Box, a tool library in parking lots where Stockholm subscribers pay monthly for smart locker access to charged equipment. Retail's future? Digital relationships extending into compelling physical experiences, treating stores as brand embassies rather than distribution points. Remember when the music industry sued teenagers for downloading songs? That panic-driven response to Napster revealed an industry desperately clinging to a dying model. Traditional media operated on hits and misses. Studios invested in blockbusters, hoping hits would subsidize flops. When the internet arrived, this model imploded. Streaming startups quietly revolutionized everything. Netflix invests $8 billion annually building a content portfolio that attracts and retains subscribers, fundamentally more stable than Hollywood's hit-or-miss gamble. With 2/3 of Americans subscribing to streaming video, even niche providers like Crunchyroll, serving over 1 million anime fans, and DAZN, streaming 8,000 sporting events annually, thrive. In music, over 30 million Americans now subscribe to streaming services, representing more than half the industry's revenue. David Bowie predicted music would become like running water or electricity. Platforms like Patreon provide musicians steady recurring revenue, enabling creative experimentation impossible under the old hit-driven model. The shift freed creators from chasing lowest common denominator entertainment, allowing edgier, smarter content that builds loyal audiences rather than fleeting hits. Car ownership once symbolized freedom, but increasingly represents an expensive burden. Payments, insurance, maintenance, parking, depreciation. Manufacturers from Hyundai to Porsche now offer vehicle subscriptions with month-to-month flexibility, multiple vehicle access, and hassle-free maintenance included. Ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft have fundamentally changed transportation thinking for over 60 million riders. Uber is testing monthly plans offering reduced-rate trips without surge pricing, sacrificing short-term profits for long-term loyalty. As vehicles become cell phones on wheels, the data and services may soon exceed the vehicle's value. By 2020, one in three cars will be connected, creating a projected $270 billion industry. Traditional automakers are reimagining themselves as transportation solution providers. Airlines face similar disruption through services like Surf Air, offering unlimited flights for a flat monthly fee. Helsinki's Whim app generates itineraries mixing private and public transportation, reflecting how young urbanites prefer usership over ownership. Transportation competition has shifted from vertical to horizontal. All transportation modes now compete against each other. Newspapers are thriving through digital subscriptions. Nearly 70% of U.S. adults read newspapers monthly, with major publications gaining hundreds of thousands of digital subscribers. Even millennials embrace paid content. 18% of 18 to 24-year-olds now pay for online news, up from just 4% in 2016. Subscription models succeed where advertising fails. About a quarter of Americans use ad blockers, costing publishers nearly $16 billion annually, while Google and Facebook capture 89% of online ad dollars. Successful publications now serve readers across platforms, offering flexible pricing and innovative bundles, from Spotify accounts to conferences and cruises. The New York Times exemplifies this approach, employing sophisticated data analytics like a tech company. With subscribers in 195 countries and a goal of 10 million digital subscribers, CEO Mark Thompson emphasizes they're not trying to maximize clicks, but providing journalism so strong that several million people around the world are willing to pay for it. This subscription-first philosophy enables newsrooms to prioritize depth over viral content, sparking a renaissance in investigative reporting. Ownership is dying. By 2020, half the world's largest enterprises will depend on digitally enhanced products and services. Subscription companies grow 8 times faster than the S&P 500 and 5 times faster than retail sales, spanning healthcare, education, insurance, and beyond. Subscriptions resurrect the personal customer knowledge that existed before the Industrial Revolution, when shopkeepers knew every patron's preferences. This creates happier businesses. Satisfied customers use more services, refer friends, and provide predictable revenue and valuable insights. The question isn't whether your industry will be disrupted by subscriptions, but when, and whether you'll be the disruptor or the disrupted. The global economy is being reimagined around access over ownership and relationships over transactions. Success comes from knowing customers deeply, serving their evolving needs continuously, and building relationships that grow more valuable over time. The future isn't about selling more stuff. It's about creating enduring connections that deliver ongoing value.